Exodus 32, verses 30 through 35. This is the reading of God's word. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You yourselves have committed a great sin, and now I am going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. And if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written." The Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. But go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin." Then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time hearing of your word. We ask that you will grant us an ear to hear, that we may truly hear your voice through your word. And as we hear your word, we pray that by your grace, that our faith will grow, that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray through your word, let us see the heavenly realities that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ for us to possess and enjoy. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe we have about five more sermons on the book of Exodus. And like I told you, that we will go to Paul's letter, his letter to Colossians. So start reading Colossians, not Galatians, Colossians. Well, we are looking at chapter 32 of the book of Exodus for last few Lord's days. Today, as we look at the last verses of this chapter, we will summarize the whole chapter and move on to chapter 33, next Lord's Day. In this chapter, we have seen what was lacking in the Old Covenant. To put it very short, it was breakable covenant. So it pointed to the better covenant, the new covenant, that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished already for you and for me. We saw that just by giving of the law, the salvation could not be accomplished. Why? Because the hearts of sinners are so corrupted that not only they do not submit to the law of God, but by nature, they cannot even do so. So for those people, you just giving the law will not gonna accomplish anything because they just will not obey. And not only they will not obey, they just cannot do it. So then we see the promise of the new covenant. And that promise includes the promise of the new heart. So now God, instead of writing his law on the stone, he writes his law in our hearts. God recreates his people to possess the mind of Christ. And the new covenant in Jesus Christ is not breakable. Even your sins will not break it. Why? Because it is based on the perfect obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, who are in Jesus Christ, are the members of this covenant, this new covenant. We also saw the story of Levites as representative of God. They carried out God's judgment on their own brothers. It points to the last judgment of God. We have learned that at the time of the last judgment, all of the earthly relationships end. Only the eternal relationships that are accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ remain. And spiritually, that reality has already begun. We who are in Christ are one family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, now and forever. And we are the brothers to our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we are called to witness that reality in our lives, in the life of the church. Thus, it is a must that we must truly love one another. Now, Moses intercedes for the Israelites. God has already said that His anger is burning against the Israelites and that He will destroy them. And Moses says to God, turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Then Moses comes down from the mountain, and now his anger burned against the Israelites. So verse 20 we read, he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire, ground it to powder, and scattered it over the surface of the water, and made the sons of Israel drink it. Then Moses judges them. Then in verse 30, we see Moses going up to the mountain and pleads with God on behalf of the Israelites. So when he goes to God, he pleads with God on the behalf of Israelites. But when he comes to God's people, he judges them. His anger burns. So what is Moses doing? Well, he is acting as the mediator. See, to people, Moses represents God. But to God, Moses represents the people. As the representative of God, Moses punishes the people. But as the representative of people, Moses pleads with God. He intercedes for the people. Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. God's laws are in his hands. And he, as the representative of God, acts as the judge. The Ten Commandments bear witness of their sins. I mean, they clearly broke the law of God. They are clearly guilty. Moses throws the tablets from his hands and shatters them at the foot of the mountain. And notice that God is not angry about Moses doing this. God actually approves, because it just shows that now the covenant is broken. Moses is witnessing the anger of God. He burns the calf and ground it to powder and makes them eat them with water. It clearly shows that that idol is absolutely nothing. Now Moses scolds Aaron in verse 21. What did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? I mean, Aaron, who is he? Well, he's the high priest. And as a high priest, he's supposed to lead the people in holiness. But he fails miserably. He actually participates in the sin with God's people. He helps them sin. But we see Aaron blaming people for his sin rather than taking the full responsibility for his sin. Verse 22b says, "You know the people yourself," Aaron says to Moses, "you know the people yourself that they are prone to evil." He blames them, even though he was the leader as a high priest. See, we are reminded of Genesis 3. I mean, Aaron, he's the one who made that idol. But he's saying, "Oh, I made it because of the people." Blaming others for his own sin. But this is what we see in Genesis 3. The very first sin, Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree of which God commanded them not to eat. And just like in Exodus 32, we see Adam and Eve blaming the others for their sins. Adam blamed Eve and ultimately God himself. Genesis 3 verse 12, Adam says to God, "The woman, you, woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." He's saying, you know, "I ate because the woman that you gave me, she made me." Adam and Eve, they were created as the husband and wife, and they should love one another. Adam should have loved his wife with his life, but that is not what we see right after sin. We see the opposite. See, this is a picture of sinners. They blame others for their sins. Eve also blames the serpent for her sin. Genesis 3 verse 13b, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." See, it was all serpent's fault. He deceived me. That's why I ate. The sinners do not admit their sins, and they certainly do not repent of their sins. God must work. That is why repentance is grace. You and I, we cannot repent on our own. We will do the same thing. You and I will have so many excuses why we sinned. God must work. He must pour out His grace. Otherwise, we will not repent. Truly repent. From Aaron, we see the lacking in the office of high priest of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 20, "The Lord was angry," Moses is saying this, "the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time." See, it shows the lack in the office of the high priest of the Old Testament. The better high priest must come. And Jesus Christ is that better high priest, the perfect and eternal high priest. And he fulfills and perfects the office of the high priest. And only in him, you and I, we are also priests of God. Because Jesus Christ has perfected, fulfilled this office. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed from the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 11 says, now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood. Now Levitical priesthood is the priesthood started by Aaron. Because Aaron is a Levite. And all of his sons and their sons and their sons, they were the priests. Now, it's saying, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not to be designated according to the order of Aaron? The author of Hebrews is saying, if the perfection is to come through the Levitical priesthood, why do we need another priesthood, another high priest that did not come in the order of Aaron, but in the order of Melchizedek? So Jesus being high priest is not following the Levitical line. It's a completely different order. That's why his priesthood is more superior than anything of the Old Testament. The perfection came through Jesus Christ, our perfect high priest. He, as the perfect great high priest, gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins once and for all. That's why Levitical priests, they had to sacrifice again and again and again, because their sacrifice was never perfect. And they themselves were never perfect. So they sacrificed over and over and over. But our Lord's sacrifice, he gave himself as the perfect sacrifice on that cross. But he himself is perfect. So his sacrifice is perfect. That is why it's once and for all sacrifice. That is why you and I, we do not do sacrifices anymore in the New Testament. If Jesus' sacrifice was not perfect, then we have to still do this. But we don't do that anymore. Our worship is not sacrificing, because that has already been done once and for all 2,000 years ago. Our worship is fellowship. See, in the Old Testament, you see that after the sacrifice, then priests, they eat the sacrifice and they have fellowship. So you have sacrifice and fellowship, but today, you don't have sacrifice anymore because Jesus did it once and for all. All we have is a fellowship. And that's what this worship is. Even as we worship God, we are having fellowship with Him. And He's happy to see you, and we are happy to be with Him. And Jesus also lived that perfect righteous life for us. He perfectly accomplished the perfect righteousness for us. Unlike the Levitical priesthood, they could not accomplish that perfect righteousness. But our Lord did. And obviously we see Aaron. He's actually leading people to sin. He's participating in sin with the people. Obviously, this shows that we need better priests, better high priests. And that's what Old Testament is, that when we read the Old Testament, it points to us to better thing, because we know that whatever it has in the Old Testament, it's not going to do it. It's never perfect. So it forces us to desire something better. And that better is in Jesus Christ. That's what the purpose of the Old Testament. It takes us to Christ. And if you read the Old Testament in any other purpose, you're not reading it correctly. Verse 30. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You yourself have committed a great sin. And now I am going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Moses then repents his people's sins and asks for the forgiveness of their sins. The penalty of sin, as you know, is death. All sinners must die. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22b, "And without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness." It shows that the penalty of sin is death. That's why the blood, because blood is symbol of life. You must die. Blood has to be shed. That's the message. "And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness," God says. See, God is a righteous judge. He must punish sins. I mean, I have to give you this example one more time. You heard it probably 10 times. But let's say you have a judge and somebody comes to be judged and he's a murderer. He killed a person. And judge says, "Oh, it's okay, I forgive you, go home." What will be your response to that kind of judge? You will say, "That's not righteous judge." Yes, exactly. God has to punish sin. God cannot just say, "Oh, it's okay, go home." He cannot do that. Because you have committed sin. But God is righteous judge. He must punish sins. And in verse 32, Moses says something that is truly astonishing here. He says, "If you will, forgive their sin. And if not," he says, "please blot me out of your book, which you have written." Sorry. Apostle Paul says something similar. Romans chapter 9 verse 3, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." If it means that those Jewish people will be saved, and if that requires me being going to hell, then I wish that were true, that would come true. That's what Paul is saying. That if my going to hell will save those people, then I will do it. I will gladly do it. And Moses says the same thing here. Both Paul and Moses, they know that this is not possible once your name is written. What does it mean to be blotted out from God's book, the book of life? It means that you are eternally damned. You are forever abandoned by God. You are under God's eternal judgment and curse forever. It means eternal death. But we see the glimpse of Jesus Christ in Moses. And Old Testament characters, they are types of Christ. As a mediator, Moses offers his life for his people. For God's people. As a mediator, God loves God's people. John chapter 15 verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." John chapter 10 verse 11, "Good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So here, we could see that Moses is much more blessed than Aaron. that he's doing a little bit better, but not perfect himself. He is still a sinner. So Moses and his mediation is lacking. Even as Moses comes and offers his life and says, if I would die, if you could forgive them and save them, but his mediation is lacking. God cannot accept that. And that's the point. That is what we see in our passage. Moses is also a sinner. And even if Moses dies on behalf of God's people, that cannot save them. Because if Moses dies eternally, then he's only paying for his own sin. Numbers chapter 14. Let's go there. This is kind of long. Numbers chapter 14. Verse 23 to 35. Numbers. That's the fourth book of the Bible from the very beginning. Chapter 14, verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, and there they will die. What does this show? That Moses' mediation is lacking. Even with all those sacrifices that was made in the Old Testament, it's still lacking. And Moses himself could not go into the promised land either. So in spite of Moses' mediation, even though it was not the ultimate judgment of God, we read in verse 35, then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron has made. See, this is a picture that you must see. Here's Moses as a mediator. He intercedes for the God's people. And he even offers his life. I will eternally die if you could forgive and save them. But it didn't work. See, if we, you and I, if we still have Moses and people like him alone, then whatever they might offer to God to save us, or whatever they do or say, it's just not going to work. That we will all die forever. Do you see it then? We need the better mediator. And that better, the perfect mediator, is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partaker of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. By just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. See, this mediator gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. In our places, he received the eternal judgment of God that our sins truly deserve. And because he bore our sins on the cross, Jesus received God's eternal judgment, the judgment that is equal to his name being blotted out from the book of life. Jesus was abandoned by God the Father on the cross. And when this Jesus intercedes for us, when he is the mediator between God and us, the perfect salvation is accomplished. That God could actually forgive our sins. See, even if Moses offered his life, God could not forgive sins of the people. But when Jesus dies on the cross, you know, that judgment is equal to him, his name being blotted out of the book of life because of what he did. When Jesus pleads with God, God listens. God accepts what Jesus has done. And he actually forgives us. Forgive our sins. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13a, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Thus, as Jesus Christ pleads for us, God forgives our sins without any punishment. See, in our passage, Moses pleads and there is no forgiveness and there is punishment. Oh yes, it's a typological. It's not ultimate eternal punishment. But you get the picture. But in the Old Testament, when Jesus pleads for us, there is forgiveness and there is not any punishment. Jesus' mediation is perfect. On the cross, Jesus Christ cried out, Father, forgive them. Yes, the Father listened and accepted. God has forgiven our sins in Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 verse 24, truly, truly I say to you, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. Brothers and sisters, hear what John says in 1 John 2 verse 1. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have someone who would plead on our behalf. But that mediator is the perfect mediator. Everything he did, the Father has accepted. He was pleased with everything Jesus has done, so everything that Jesus pleads, Father accepts. When you sin, you have a mediator who will plead on your behalf. Forgive his sin. Forgive her sin. And Father says, yes, I do forgive. Why? Because Jesus has already received the eternal punishment that our sins deserve. Jesus is the judge, but he is also to us the mediator, the advocate. Look at what our Lord has accomplished. At the time of Moses, we saw this, right? 3,000 people died in one day because of their sins. And in Acts, book of Acts, we see 3,000 sinners being saved in one day. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Even now, He prays for us. He pleads on behalf of us, and He is even now interceding for us. But He does all that on the basis of His perfect sacrifice on the cross and His perfect righteous life. So whatever He asks of Father, it's done. He asks the Father, even now, forgive the sins of your people. Praise God. His intercession on our behalf is also perfect. God will do what our Lord asks of Him. And brothers and sisters, believe. Your sins are forgiven. And God said, I will not even remember anymore. Believe. Believe. And give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. Amazing grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy that You pour out to us. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our mediator. We thank You that He intercedes for us even now, and He does that on the basis of His perfect sacrifice of Himself on the cross and His perfect life that He lived. Thus, we are so confident, we are so certain that whatever He is asking, You will do. And we already heard what He was asking on the cross. He said, forgive their sins, forgive them. We thank You that You have forgiven us our sins in Jesus Christ. And whenever we sin, even in the future, we know we have an advocate who's on our side, pleading for us. And we thank You that His mediation is perfect. Oh Father, we are so blessed to have such a mediator. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.